Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
Hey, John 10:10. You guys ready to get in the Word? How many of you guys are ready to get in the Word? That's all we have. Do you understand that? Man, everything that can be shaken, the Bible says will be, and I believe it currently is. And understand what we're doing right now, that the laser force that we've put on this, that we're focusing on right now, is the only thing in this world that can't be shaken. The shaking that's happening everywhere and that we're all experiencing. Man, if you've got your trust in anything outside God's kingdom, or you've got your hope in anything else, I'm just telling you, you're freaking out right now. And understand that. See, this isn't one of those canned January series to start a new year. This is real talk in real time. All right? This is what we're dealing with right here, right now, today, collectively, everybody. And you know what's interesting? The Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust alike. And the cool thing about the kingdom is that judgment starts in God's house. See, so for me, I don't know about you guys, but there's all kinds of agendas. There are all kinds of opinions. There's all kinds of the ruse is out there. I'm just telling you. And we've realized that so much of it has been forever, that things are being revealed, and we realize that the enemy has been hiding in plain sight. And see, I'm so appreciative of that. I attribute a lot of what I'm about to say today to the fast that we're in right now. And you know, I know that we do it every year, and it's pretty common, it's familiar. We start the new year off with a 3-week Daniel fast. It concludes with the healed service. You know, that healed service that's next Sunday is going to be, for me, it's going to be about 3.5 hours of miracles. I'll pay the price of admission for 3.5 hours of miracles, because I'm in both services. But the amazing thing, just like the Pardos that were on the video, I had no idea that they went through that. I had no idea about that. Yet, you know what God did? Man, God found that out in their life. And see, what God wants to do is take care of the things that we're dealing with. See, that's what God's doing right now in all of our lives. See, that's what His Word is for here. The Bible says the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus said, but I've come to give you life and life more abundant. Now, realize that we're body, soul, and spirit. We're in three parts. But see, here's how this works. We are a spirit. We're a spirit being. I understand we have a physical body. See, we're a spirit being that has a soul and lives in a body. We're cloaked in a body. And see, so much, all the world could do is present things from a physical or mental point of view. So if you're dealing with things emotionally from a mental point of view, it's going to drag you down. Every time. I'm telling you, gravity matters with your body and your soul. And see, your soul is actually yourself. So if when you live a life that's soulish, you're selfish. And we understand that, see, because our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. All right? Everything is so emotional now because so much is coming to light. And it's like, oh my gosh, whose report are you going to believe? Are you going to believe the report from this direction or this direction? I'm telling you, we've got to believe, we've got to put our trust in the report of the Lord. And that's what we're going to present here. And guess what the report of the Lord's going to do? It's going to offend people. It's going to be cutting. It's going to be offensive. I'm telling you, what you guys have heard here for almost 30 years is God's the healer. He heals everybody, every time, no matter what. Well, let me tell you, that offends people. That bothers people. And see, I understand that. I'm like, well, you know what? When I get up and say, look, God's the healer. God's will in your life is to be healed. And let me just tell you, God being the healer, our healing provisions in past tense. By whose stripes you were healed. That's past tense. It's like, wait a second. It's already happened. Write that down. It has already happened. So many people are looking for God to do a work in their lives. And let me tell you, that's the deception of the enemy. Here's what I believe. Everything that God is ever going to do, he's already done. So on that cross, Jesus was hanging on that cross, suffering the worst death that you could suffer. And what did he say? He said, God forgive them. They know not what they do. And it is finished. He said, unto you I commend my spirit. And then went to the grave. And then went to hell. And then came out of the grave. I mean, what's interesting is, in one action, he was delivered from death and the grave. He was delivered from hell and the grave. You know that people that don't know the Lord, if you're in this room, if you're listening to this right now, and Jesus isn't Lord of your life, you've never lived. You haven't. And the bottom line with it is, and that's offensive. You've experienced things, and you've breathed, and your heart is beaten, but you've never lived. You're not alive. And see, you've got to understand that. You've got to understand that the way this happens is that Adam and Eve were born alive. Eve was created alive. But guess what? When they partook of that fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which is still interesting, isn't it? We want to know more. We have an insatiable appetite for knowledge. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Man, the fight. You hear it everywhere from both sides. Oh, the fight for is good versus evil. So what, you know what we got to do? We got to have a knowledge of good and evil. And God's saying, whoa, wait a minute. My Bible says be ignorant of what's evil. See, we've got to understand, we've got to look at it, that we don't fight, this isn't a flesh and blood fight. It's all spiritual. We are spiritual beings, whether we're Christians or not. There's one group that's alive and there's another group that there's not. And our message is for those that are not alive. And see, we've got to look at it now. We've got to understand that when Adam and Eve ate of the fruit of that tree, they died. Well, here's what's interesting. Their hearts kept beating. They kept experiencing things. They experienced shame. They experienced embarrassment. You know, there was no embarrassment on the earth until they sinned. And you know, when they sinned, they were separated from God. They still physically and mentally were alive. They still had emotions to deal with. They had offspring, but they were dead. So their offspring were born dead, spiritually dead. All of us were. All of our babies are. That's why when they become of the age of accountability, when they get to an age of understanding, they have to make Jesus the Lord of their lives. What happens then? They come alive. See, that's offensive to people. And see, we've got to understand, but that's the truth. See, we're on a mission to bring light to the darkness. Let me tell you, we any one of us can identify and describe darkness. But you know what? What good does that do? What is our role? To bring light to the situation. That's our role. And what's interesting is, in Romans 9:12, Paul writes, it says, and it was said to Mary, the older shall serve the younger. And what's interesting is that I remember Sandy was reading a book on parenting, and this verse came, and this was decades ago. And this verse came up, and the verse was about older children serving the younger children in a family, and that's how you raise your family. And I think that's wonderful, but that's not what this verse means. This is a spiritual principle. The soul, or the older, will serve the spirit, which is the younger. Yeah, it's John the Baptist serving Jesus in this regard. But the spiritual principle here is your soul, which is older than your spirit in you, is to serve your spirit. But see, I'm telling you, we live in a world that's fallen, and we live in the world where things really are contrived and backwards. So everybody lives their life where their spirit serves their soul. I'm going to heaven. God meets all my need according to the riches of glory by Christ Jesus. Let me tell you, I could take that to a soulish place like that. But see, none of this is soulish. None of it. It's to take over our minds. It's not to add to our minds. Man, the Bible says, add nothing to your faith except for God's word. So now, add nothing to your trust except for God's promise. So what have you added to your trust? Some people say, man, it's hard for me to trust the government. You were never supposed to put your trust in there. It's hard for me to trust business. Yeah, it's hard for me to trust money. It's hard for me to trust. Let me tell you, our trust goes to God. That's where our trust goes because we're born again now. If you don't know the Lord, put your trust in all that other stuff. The Bible even says some trust in horses and some in chariots. We're going to remember the name of the Lord our God. Man, I'm fired up. I want you to get this. In the book of James, the half-brother of Jesus writes that it's able to save your soul. It's not saving your spirit. Your spirit's already born of God. It's able to save. It's able to bring salvation, to rescue your soul. See, David told his soul to be quiet. David told his soul to be strong. David told his soul to be bold. David told his soul to bless God. In Psalm 131:2, David writes, surely I've calmed and quieted my soul. Now listen how he put it. He said, like a weaned child with his mother, like a weaned child in my soul within me. See, in 1 Corinthians 3:1, Paul writes, it says, and I, brethren, couldn't speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. See, that's what so much of this is. Man, that's why we offer Next Steps. That's why we offer Guts X. That's why we offer this internship. Let me tell you, these 7 graduates of the internship have the ability now to think maturely when they see things and they hear things. Not just as babes, not just desiring the milk of the word, but of solid food. Hebrews 5:12, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again with the principles and the oracles of God. And you've come to need milk and not solid food. See, let me just make a point, and it's actually the title of the message. It's important where you go to church. Yeah, where you go to school, where you go to college, what neighborhood you live in, where you work, what you do for a living, all that stuff's important. But none of it, please listen to me, none of it's more important than where you go to church. The Bible says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Man, you want your life to be fulfilled. You want your life to be, you want to be an influence. You want to be important on this earth. Let me tell you, God put you on this earth to be important. You were born with purpose for a purpose. On purpose in your life. It's important where you go to church. I'm just telling you. I know that's difficult to say. I know it sounds competitive amongst churches. But I'm telling you, why? Because you need to be weaned as a child. When you wean a child, that kid, that baby thinks that you're trying to kill him. It's like, wait a second, you want me to use this utensil? I'm used to eating from here. Now you want me to eat solid food now? I really don't have all the teeth I need to eat it. You have to die to self. See, God, what God's going to do, and I wrote it in my notes. What God's going to do is he's going to kill what's killing you. That's what the word's designed to do. The word's designed to kill the things that are trying to kill you. See, that's why there's change required in us. I have to change. Why? Because God's killing the things that is trying that are trying to kill me. It's interesting how the devil operates. The devil lied to Eve and said, you're going to surely, God said you'll surely die. You're not going to die. And here's the bottom line. God wasn't talking physically or mentally. God was talking spiritually. But see, the devil flipped that into a natural, a carnal place. You're not going to die physically. Well, that enticed her. She was curious. She fell prey to his deception. That's how you fall. That's how you, up to this point, have fallen prey of the enemy's deception. The most cunning creature on the planet, his deception in your life is he deals with things emotionally and naturally and mentally. Spiritually, God's got you handled. Man, you all know that. Man, if you screw up, if you start taking drugs again, it's not going to send you to hell. People will think, well, if I have sex outside of marriage, I'm not going to go to hell. See, that's a deception of the enemy. You know, let me tell you how heinous this is from the word. Yeah, God said you'll surely die. The serpent said, you're not going to surely die. You're going to die. This fruit's not going to kill you? It's not poisonous? It was poisonous spiritually. The knowledge of good and evil is still poisonous spiritually for us in our lives. Do you know that? We've got to recognize that. We've got to understand it. And we all have so much access to it because of technology. But let me tell you, what's the greatest technology in the world still is right up here in all our heads. It still is. But see, the world wants us to be nice. The Bible never tells us to be nice. Isn't that interesting? You know why? Nice is carnal. The word requires us to be kind. See, you know what kind is baptized in? Love. Most of the people I'm nice to, there's no love involved. It's usually going to be manipulative. But you know what? Kindness isn't manipulative. Because kindness is immersed and soaked in the love of God. Man, if people are nice to you, that 50 cents will get you a cup of coffee. See, we've got to understand that. For the Word of God, Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is alive and it's powerful. How do you get life into your being? Through God's Word. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of your soul and your spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of your heart. You have no idea where your thoughts came from without God's Word. You have no idea what's in your heart without God's Word. And there's no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked. Now listen, and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. See, sometimes the English translation from the Greek weakens or it's pale. It's shallow. That word open, go back to that verse. There's no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of God. See, that word open, it's naked or it's there's no camouflage, nothing's muddy. Nothing's blurry, everything's clear and open. That word open is actually taking a victim by the head and pulling its head back to bare its neck. That's what that word open means. See, and it slays it. God wants to kill what's trying to kill you. This is why there's so many people today who are still dealing with unredeemed desires. See, what's interesting about it is we'll call them issues. When I'll get up and I'll say, hey, how many guys have issues you're dealing with? Let me see your hands. Let's do it. How many guys have issues that you're dealing with? Let me see your hands. Those are actually unredeemed desires. Those are desires that you brought into this new and incredible life, this new and better covenant. Because this new and better covenant, what we don't talk about enough are the principles and the protocols of this new and better covenant. There are new protocols in my life now because I'm a Christian, because I'm a follower of Jesus, because I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. There are new protocols in my life. God wants to kill what's killing you. This is why so many people don't know how God feels about them. Man, let me tell you what happened to our drummer that was on the video, Bernie. Let me tell you what happened to him. He woke up to who he was in Christ. He woke up to how God feels about him. Man, do you understand? You're the apple of his eye. Do you understand? God is constantly, there's so many people say, well, God's got so much going on, my problems are petty. The Bible says that God is constantly mindful of you. Do you understand that he's the Alpha and the Omega? He's the author and the finisher. Of our hope. My hope's in him. My hope's not in a country. My hope's not in a government. My hope's not in a political party. My hope's in God. All of it. See, because what's interesting about it is, and this is from before the beginning of time, the earth was dark, void, and without form. Did you know that? And God said, let there be light. And boom, there was light. Now let me tell you what's synonymous with light. And we see this in the New Testament. Life. Where God said, let there be life. But also what it's synonymous of, and this should get you excited, is Messiah. It's let there be light. Let there be life. Let there be Messiah. Man, you walk into a dark situation. If your finances are in darkness, your mission is let there be light. Let there be life. Man, there's no life outside of Jesus. The world is still dark. The world is still void and without form. That's why people can manipulate situations so easily. There's no form. Man, the lines move. They move the goalposts. Let me tell you something. The goalposts will never move in the church. If there's a church that you're familiar with that the goalposts have moved because of the pandemic, because of things racially in America, because of the government or politics, let me tell you, it's not a church you want to be at. If the goalposts begin to move here, go. Run for cover. Because I'm telling you, that's how simple as this is. That Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Now, do you desire to follow Jesus? The first thing you have to do is deny yourself, deny your soul. Are you listening to me? Otherwise, you're going to be selfish. Have you guys met selfish leaders? Have you guys met selfish pastors? Have you guys met selfish Christians? Let me tell you, it's because their spirit is serving their soul. And that's wrong. The older serves the younger. The soul serves the spirit. I had a soul before I became a Christian. My spirit was just dead. I said, Jesus, I make you Lord of my life. My spirit came alive unto God. I thought, wait, everybody's clapping. I'm thinking, whoa, wait, is that all there is? Is that it? I just have to say, Jesus, I make you Lord of my life. and believe it and everything changes? Yes. But listen, it doesn't change. It becomes new. That's what God does. He makes all things new. What's God doing in our lives right now? He's doing a new thing. What's my prayer for you through this fast? That you become aware of the new thing that God's doing in your life. Man, God's doing something new. Man, some of you guys that were barren and couldn't have kids, God's doing something new. And guess what? He's making you extremely fertile. Man, you guys that have had no money and you've lived hand to mouth, which is poverty, I might add, month to month. Man, most Americans have very little savings and a lot of debt. Well, the new thing God wants to do is eliminate that debt and give you more than enough so that you're able to give to every good work. Let me tell you, a church like this, people, we can only hold it back for so long. Because I'll tell you what this church wants to do right now. It wants to grow. I'll tell you what this church wants to do now. It wants to affect our communities. We got to think in terms of Tulsa and Broken Arrow and Skytook and Sepulpa and Sand Springs and Owosso and Bixby and Jinx. This church, I'm just telling you, this church wants to do that. It wants to affect those places. And then he said to them all, Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him, here it is again, deny himself. You can't be selfish. That's all sin does in your life, is just identifies your selfishness. And take up his cross and follow Jesus. Pick up your cross every day. So what are you picking up? You're picking up you're identifying with his suffering. You're identifying with his redemption and his salvation. You're identifying with his power. See, what is that cross? That cross is a transition point from your soul to your spirit, from darkness to light. Let me tell you, if you're born again by the blood of Jesus, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, your spirit's never going to be a place of darkness. Man, I'll tell you, when Taylor got sick, and it's interesting because he got sick and it impacted his liver. The medical community put their hands up. Which, let me tell you something. If you ever stand in front of a preacher that just goes like this as a solution, it's a red flag. Just saying. You fathers, this is not our posture. We're leaders. Leaders don't. But the medical community, that's what they said. Andrew Womack visited us in the hospital and said, Bill, this is a spiritual issue. And let me tell you, something came alive in me. Something came alive in Sandy. Sandy and I got on an elevator. And we looked at each other and she said, we are never going to speak defeat. We are proclaiming victory. We win here. And I'm like, I'm with you. We took authority over it. They gave him a simple, basic antibiotic. The next morning, he was well and they released him from the hospital. 12 hours earlier, Andrew Womack said, Bill, this is spiritual. It's like, shoot, we win now. That's it. And you know what I did? Took all my chips, went all in. Years later, what happened? Another liver issue. What are we going to do? It's non-alcoholic cirrhosis. Check your numbers. Up. We have to put you on a list, a transplant list. Let me tell you, out of that person's mouth right there, God's able, God's willing, God's provided, God's faithful. Listen to me. God, 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 God. Get with me, will you? God, 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 God. Look, has nothing with medicine, has nothing with science. Praise, thank God for those people. Do your best. Give whatever diagnosis you want to give. But let me tell you something. God, 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 that's our prognosis. I'm telling you, God is able to, come on, do exceedingly abundantly. Doom and gloom and doom and gloom and doom and gloom. After the transplant, it's going to be 12 to 18 months. Let me tell you, after 8 days, she's supposed to be in the hospital for 3 months. After 8 days, they released her. Why'd they release her? They didn't know what to do with the COVID. She got to come home. I'm like, I couldn't get her out of there quick enough. I'm just saying. Love them. Appreciate them. Couldn't get her out of there quick enough. Let's go home. Let's go to our people. That's after 8 days. 7.5 months later, remember they said 12 to 18 months? I'm telling you, I'm emotional right now. And when I get emotional, I start throwing things and hitting people. Buckle up. 7.5 months later, we're in with the surgeon. He said, well, I'm releasing you. And I'm like, oh, good. I love release. Release the good news. And then I'm like, wait, release? He said, yeah. He said, you're well. You're great. If you were the case study, we'd change all our protocols. Now listen, I bring all that up. It's Sandy's story to tell. I bring all that up to tell you our protocols change as Christians. Our principles change as Christians. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The hope of glory. I'll tell you, I've lived for the last, I don't know, few years with Sandy dealing with her liver deal. I live with Sandy dealing with Taylor's liver deal. Never was there a shred of doubt or unbelief or worry or fear or depression or anxiety. Never. Never. Like what did the announcement of the COVID do for us? Got Sandy home. Got Sandy on our turf. My house is dedicated to the Lord. This church is dedicated to God. So you know what that means? The chairs you're sitting on are sacred ground. You drive into my driveway, it's sacred ground. I'm telling you, dedicate your life, your possessions, and everything you have to God. And you know what God will do? God will bless you. God will bless your spouse. God will bless your offspring. God will bless your fields. God will bless your livestock. God will bless your home. You go back through the blessings of Abraham and the blessing of God. And what is that? Everything gets lifted. Everything gets lifted. Everything gets lifted. I'm telling you, her expectation is excellence. And it starts spiritually. Rachel, where's she? Stand up, Rachel, wherever you are. It was painful, Rachel, when I met Rachel, whatever her last name is. When I met her, it's painful for her to smile around people. She'd always look down. Had a hard time smiling. I said, Rachel, I don't care what you get out of this internship other than when I see you, I better see a smile. She's 27 years old. She's about to get her driver's license. 27. So you start putting this stuff together. Hard to smile, difficult, didn't want attention, didn't want to have to make eye contact, didn't have a driver's license, and is a single mama. Well, she's getting her driver's license. Governor's brother gave her a car. I mean, she's got a reason to smile. And I'm telling you, thank you. Y'all do too. I'm telling you, mark my words. I've got prophecy for you. You ready for it? Anybody want a prophetic utterance? There's no impending doom for you. Maybe you didn't. Maybe I didn't make it clear. Thus saith the Lord. Brothers and sisters. There's no impending doom for you. Because it boils down to this. Let there be light. Let there be life. Let there be Messiah. The first Hebrew word uttered for Messiah is the Hebrew word that's translated light. Let there be light. Let there be life. Let there be Messiah. You say it over your health. You say it over your marriage. You say it over your children. You say it over your finances. You say it over your home. You say it over this church. You say it over this pastor. You say it over people around you. You say it over your career. You say it over America. You say it over Tulsa. You say it over Skytook. You say it over Sepulpa. You say it over Broken Arrow. You say it over Owosso. You say it over Jigs. You say it over Bixby. Let there be light. Let there be life. Let there be Messiah. Let there be light. Let there be life. Let there be Messiah. I'm telling you, I'm emotional about this. There is no impending doom coming upon your life. This is a blessing. This is an escalation. And God is in favor of you.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.